Linux and launch it directly, /hello.py, and it would be executed with this Python 3. After env, there is a space. So actually, here it will, the env program will be called, and Python 3 will be passed as a parameter, and env will return the exact path of the Python 3 program, and that's how it will be executed. It's the same thing with other interpreted languages. So if you used, did you use Bash? So if you write a Bash script, you type /usr/bin/env/bash. It's the same thing with interpreted languages. Okay, if you use Windows, then this first line is not necessary. You can type it. It's also a better idea to type it because maybe you write it on Windows, but you want to execute it on a Unix server. So you can type it, but under Windows, this first line will be ignored. It doesn't cause any problem, even if you type it. Okay. You can also specify the character encoding of the source file. You can put it in the second line. It is actually not a comment. It will be a pragma, which is a special line for the interpreter. And here you can specify the character encoding of the file. Under Linux, UTF-8 is the default. So in the case of Python 3, you don't need to type it. UTF-8 will be the default. However, if you want to execute it, here USQLAC contains some special characters. If you want to execute it with Python 2 and you forget this line, you will get an error. It will say that you are using some funny characters. I cannot execute it. So in Python 2, you had to add this line, and then it works fine. Okay, the important thing is, in Python 3, this is optional. You don't have to write it. In Python 3, every string is a Unicode string. So working with special characters, like here, it's much easier in Python 3. Okay. Now, let's write our first function. Let's put it in a function. A function starts with the keyword def. We do not specify the type of the return value. We write the name of the function, and then between parentheses, we put the parameters. And then there is a colon. And here, we need to add 4 spaces. It is called indentation. If I want to execute it, nothing happens. Nothing is printed. Why? Yeah, we are not calling the function, so we have to call it explicitly. Here at the end, let's go back to the beginning of the line, and let's call the main function. Now, it is called. Now let's print hello world in 2 lines. First, print just hello, and then let's print word. Hello and word appears. As you can see, if you use print, then a new line character is added automatically. Just like in Java, systemoutprintln, it adds a new line automatically. And here you can see another speciality of the Python language, which is the indentation. So when you put put these lines, when you put right here four spaces, they are put inside, then these two lines are indented. And this is how we indicate where a block starts and where the block ends. If it were a C program or a C-sharp program, we would write something similar. Here we would have an opening curly brace, here a closing curly brace. But if you use C-sharp or C, you do not write the source code like this, right? In C-sharp you also use indentation, because this way the source code looks much better. It's more readable. So this is how you indicate a block in C-sharp. You use curly braces, and you also use indentation to make it more readable. So you use two different things for a block, and Guido said, hey, one of them is not necessary. So Guido said, the curly braces are redundant, let's remove them. And then here we need a colon. So when you use a colon, it means that in the next line I will start a block, and those lines which are indented, they belong to the block. And this main is indented back to the beginning of the line, so it is outside of the block. Is it clear? Okay. Let's continue this. Let's use an if statement. True, with capital T, is a logical constant in Python. And it is always true. So if true, colon, we need to indent again. And let's print something. If the script is executed, how many lines will be printed to the standard output?
Four.
This is true. So this block will be executed. Let's change it to false. This is a logical constant, which is always false. If we execute it, how many lines will be printed?
Two.
Just two. Okay. Now I come back here and let's print end. If it's executed, how many lines will be printed?
Three.
Three. Right. So this is false. This is the body of this block, of this if, and this is not executed. For comments, we use the hash mark. If you find it strange, you can cheat a bit. You can add, if you want, you can add the comment. For instance, here, you can write end if. This is a comment, and it can help you to see where the block ends. You can use it at the beginning when you learn Python, but later on you can drop it. This is the end of the function. If it helps, you can use it. Okay. So, some key points. When you start a function, you use the keyword def. At the end, you need to add the colon. You need to use indentation for showing where a block starts and where it ends. And as you have noticed, maybe, at the end of the lines, there is no semicolon. It's not necessary. Okay. There is a style guide for Python. It is called PEP8. It contains some guidelines how to write nice Python code. And this style guide suggests to leave two empty lines before and after a function to make it more readable. So here, two empty lines. Here I already two empty lines, so it looks nice. There is one more thing that I would like you to use, is to add this strange comparison before calling the main. It looks the following. If double underscore name double underscore equal equals, it will be a string, double underscore main double underscore. After the if, we also need a colon. So main will be in the block of the if, so we need to indent it. And leave here two empty lines. So I will call it strange condition. And it's a trick in Python. And it allows you to use the source code in two different ways. So one way is we want to execute the source code directly, like we did here. We execute it directly. This is one way. Another way is that we want to use this source code as a module, as a library. So we write another program, and into this other program, we want to import this file. So it will be a module. It will be, you can think that this is a library. And into another program, we want to import it. And using this trick, this strange condition, we can separate these two use cases. Later, maybe tomorrow, we will have time to talk about the modules, and we will understand completely tomorrow. But at the moment, I would like to give just an idea what it is. If a variable or a function starts with double underscores, then it's a special variable or a special function for the Python language. You can compare two strings with the equal-equal operator. So here, actually, we compare the value of this special variable to this string. And if we execute it directly, then this if condition will be true. So main will be called. However, if you import it to somewhere else, then that strange condition will be false. And main will not be executed automatically. And this is a good thing, because if I import it to somewhere else, I don't want main to be executed immediately. If I import it somewhere else, I need the main function to be executed, I will call it explicitly. But I don't want it to be executed immediately when I import it. So this strange condition allows us to separate these two use cases. And I would like you to add this condition before calling the main function. It would be better. One more thing. Actually, when you use the C language, you must have a main function. That's the entry point. Here, you can call the function differently also. So it can be hello also. Hello. And then I call the hello function. And it works. It works the same way. So it doesn't have to be called main, but I also used C a lot, so I prefer to call it main. But you can give it a different name if you want. Okay, so here is the classical Hello World program. If you want to use it under Linux too, you specify the interpreter, you define a function, you add this strange condition, and you call the main function. Now, let's see how to access the command line parameters. Let's write a new source code in our subdirectory 01. I will call it params, like parameters.py. We do not need to add under Windows the path of the interpreter, but we need to import the sysmodule. In the main function, let's print sys.argv, and let's also add this strange condition. Let's leave two empty lines. Okay. Now I want to execute params.py. So if you want to access the command line parameters, then we need to import a module from the standard library. It is called sys, abbreviation of system. And to access the command line parameters, we need to write sys.argv. It means in the sys module, inside the sys module, we want to access the variable called argv. And let's also pass some variables. It doesn't matter what. And as you can see, they are there. Sys.argv is a list. You can recognize a list immediately by the square brackets. We will talk about lists today a bit later. This is a dynamic array. And the elements are separated by comma. Could you get to this point? Mm-hmm. Is it okay? If you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. So I want everybody to follow the course. If you feel lost, just call me and I will help you. As you can see, if we do not pass any parameters, this list is not empty. It has one element. What is this first element? Indexing starts with 0. So at position 0, we have params.py. What is it? Who used the C language? Somebody said at the beginning. What is it? What do you think? It's the name of the program. So the name of the program that you execute, it is at position 0. So this list is never empty. It always contains the name of the program. And then when you pass other parameters, they come after the name of the program. And notice that here, this is a number, but in this list, it appears as a string. So even if you pass numbers, they are represented as strings. Let's write a program that we want to execute the following way. I pass my name, and it should print, it should greet me. Hello, Laszlo! Exclamation mark. So try to write this program. If you want to access an element of this list, you use the index of the element between square brackets. So it will be sys.argv, and you use the index. So you pass your name, and the program should greet you. If you are ready, raise your hand. Oh, it was that easy? Good.